Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time with this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva. Breathe in, breathe out, me and more. Breathe in, breathe out, never mind. It was time, number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list, hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. We're still here at DraftKings in Lake Charles, finishing up our time here at the Golden Nugget. They always do a great job of taking care of us. John, to the very last, still asking for things on his way out, so hopefully he gets the he squeezes the last amount of hospitality out of the Golden Nugget before he heads back to Houston along with Lance. But as I said, we're still here. We'll be here till noon, so you can get in whenever you want. 713-780-3776 is the number. And when I came down here to set up the equipment for the day, they had the replay of the Astros game on. And while the DraftKings Sportsbook, it doesn't really officially open till about, I think it's 10, maybe it's 11. Certainly not when we're here. When we start, they do us the favor of opening it so we can do the show. They turn on the televisions, get everything going. And it felt like Minute Maid was just as empty as this place at the time. Of course, there are people there, but the vibes are low. The vibes have to be very low. You have to really enjoy a night out at the ballpark to go watch the Astros at least pitch. You got Yordan out there, so you have a legitimate MVP candidate you can watch on a pretty nightly basis. So if you want to enjoy that, you got your legend in Altuve. But other than that, I get it. I get why a Tigers Astros game wasn't well attended, because beyond the fact that Tang was terrible and you're down big early. Despite the fight back, it was 5-3, and then after that, the Tigers kept on tacking on runs. This is a team who just simply can't get going. They can't find a way to string anything together, and whether it be losing the final game of the series before they came home against the Royals, or starting off a series against a bad Tigers team and just getting walloped. This is a team who people continue to bank on, at least think about what has happened in the past as a reason to have some positivity. Now, Hunter Brown will be back tonight, so that's a positive thing. So we'll see with Fromber back in the city and pitching what that looks like tonight. Maybe there'll be a better crowd just because Hunter Brown is there and Fromber's returning. We'll see. We asked a question yesterday, and both of us thought it would happen, and they already put the tribute video online. I'm sure they'll run it in the ballpark tonight. They did the Fromber tribute video, and he had some thoughts about his time here. He said no negotiation with the Astros. He said he would have thought with all this time he spent in Houston that at least would have been something that was a conversation. But there was no conversation according to Fromber Valdez about a potential return. So while it ended in a not-so-great way with some of the things he did on in the field or what he said afterwards, it appears the Astros were done with Fromber, at least in the way that they knew they weren't going to match any offer that he could get. And he got, that reaction was a fly landing on my arm. But he got the deal from the Tigers. He got his money. So that was never in question, to look like. And maybe the Astros just knew, we're not looking to play that game with you, so we're not even going to waste your time. But either way, Fromber talked yesterday. He'll be on the mound today. And maybe the vibes will be a little bit higher when you have two familiar faces out there on the mound. But the biggest thing to come out of the game was the German tourist who's become famous, Freddie. That's what we know him as. I don't even know if that's his real name. Do we know if that's his real name, Sean? We know that's his Twitter handle.
I mean, I imagine it's like Frederick or something. But
Friedrich?
Yeah, it's like Freddie LA7 or something. He's got good old CR7 as his profile pic. But yeah, it was day two, at least full day two in Houston for Freddie. And yeah, he Diamond Club member, had met Mayor John Whitmire at the game. I was appalled by Mayor Whitmire's handwriting in the note that Freddie posted.
Appalled, huh?
Did you see the handwriting?
I actually am appalled. On Freddie's account right now to find that. Oof. Hello. I only know that says Freddie because I know that's Freddie's name.
Like, yeah.
If I didn't know that was Freddie's name, I'd be like, what is that? He goes, hello, Freddie. Thank you for visit. These are our context clues.
Yes. Like, I'm to assume it's visiting.
Yeah, thank you for visiting Houston. Good luck, Mayor. Okay, that's a signature. You can make your signature look however you want. But, yeah, it's not great. Was our mayor a doctor at any point? Because that looks like doctor scribble. That's tough.
Insane.
The handwritten note, got it. Understood.
Did he write it on the back of a staffer or something?
Stop.
Yeah, turn around.
The problem is he probably just wrote it at his desk, and which speaks to the level of, let's say, awful handwriting that our mayor has. You don't need to have great handwriting to be mayor, but if you're writing a note to someone who has a giant social media following, maybe take some care.
It was just surprising. It was just a surprise. I literally saw that and went, what?
And Freddie, as we know, at least I will tell you if you don't know, he's all about keeping his identity a secret. So when he was at the Houston Police Department, he and his two buddies has a picture, put a couple smiley faces on his buddies, and as you mentioned, he's a Ronaldo fan, so he put a picture of Ronaldo over his face. Freddie turns out the shortest of the three, but at this point, the most famous, even though we don't know what his name is. And, you know, the law enforcement showed him their guns. There's a picture of them.
It's so funny.
Now, he didn't get to test out any of the weaponry, I assume, but they took him to the back of a vehicle and they showed him, hey, this is a high powered weapon. Look at it, Freddie. which leans into all the stereotypes that Europeans have for us already. Hey, the guy got to go to the Houston Police Department, and one of the first things they showed him was our guns. But yeah. But Freddie's having a good time along with his buddies.
In the caption where that's one of the pictures, he said, "You're making it possible for us to have the most American experience possible on this trip."
You think Freddie's a little jokester? You think Freddie knows what he's doing when he says that?
Yeah, when one of the, or actually both, I mean, one picture is him at the police department with by the way, people pointed out, this is like, he's not just meeting with like a couple officers. These are like the chief of staff for the Houston Police Department. This is like really high up the food chain. And yeah, and then the other picture, like you said, is at the back of a car or back of a truck. And yeah, they're looking at an assault rifle, looks like.
And to top this all off, Freddie got a police escort to Daikin.
Must be nice.
They gave him, yeah. I bet it is. Freddie's
man,
having the time
of
his
people,
life.
Freddie.
Yeah, all of a sudden, police escorts. Going to Ella Langley concerts. Yeah,
that's my taxpayer money. That's driving. Showing,
giving us shots of the Kima, not Kima. Is that Galveston?
Galveston might be Pleasure Pier.
Yeah. So Freddie's experiencing it all. Freddie's been to Galveston more often than a lot of the listening audience, I would say. At least if I go by your sensibility, Sean. But
at least he went at night. It is, you know.
Yeah,
the night's nice.
Yeah, as John and Lance pointed out, you don't actually see what Galveston looks like as far as the beach is concerned. Oh, look, I've been I go down to Galveston quite a bit. I find it fine, honestly. I don't have the same negative viewpoint that others do. But yes, the visuals, particularly when the Pleasure Pier is lit up, and if you're looking for photos, are better at night. It's fine. I'll admit to that.
I was just interested in Freddie's, and shout out to the Astros. We're talking about Freddie for 10 minutes.
Hey, but what else am I supposed to talk about? Tang?
No, I get it. We'll talk about Freddie instead. I was interested in how he would approach the relentless positivity and just in general being a good guest, which I, you know, I'm not going to crush him for it. But it is like, wait, he's going to Galveston and he doesn't say a bad word about anything on this American trip? Like,
you think this would be the real test?
How's this? What's he going to say? Like, wow, what a beautiful beach.
He didn't have to see it. It was dark.
Yeah, and I felt like we were robbed of Freddie's greatest, I don't know, spin job of maybe going to a Bubba Gump shrimp factory. Maybe that was the pivot.
You're trying to see if he could reach the levels of and be called Baghdad Freddie if he goes... He goes, look, I swear, everything's great here.
Yeah.
No, he didn't have to do that. He got the Galveston experience at night under the shroud of darkness, and he got to see the place lit up, which if you're looking for stuff to be excited about, it is Galveston at night. It's not a bad view. You hear the waves crashing. Can all be good under darkness, really.
Yes, yes. So, Thank you for invoking that propagandist and not and one from an American history and not one from Freddie's homeland's history.
Yeah. That's while Baghdad Bob isn't an American legend. Yes, we did have
some notable examples
with the country he was representing. I didn't look. Freddie's been all positive. I'm not going to use, let's say, the 40s as a reason to bash him.
At least until he leaves our city. You know, I don't want to run into him at the Target he went to, by the way, legitimately like 5 minutes from my apartment.
You could have seen Freddie.
I guess he wears his signature German
jersey. Yeah,
you would
have known him as the three guys in the German jerseys. That would have been your first clue,
like,
yeah.
What's this group talking funny? Sound like that Lance drop.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, since he's been able to visit all these places, see, the thing is, of the Europeans, part of it is they speak English. They speak English better than we would ever speak German. So whether there's an accent or not, I'm sure Freddie's communicating pretty well, and he's having a great time, which was a real test for non-Freddie types who were at Daikin last night.
Yeah. Who's that going on in the toiletries department?
I believe Freddie's English when he's looking at picking up a pillow in Target sounds a lot better than Lance trying to mimic German. But glad to have Freddie at Daikin. Unfortunately, the hometown nine couldn't come up with a win as they drop to, I believe, what is it now? They're back to 8 games below 500, which is where they hover for the last month or so. Between 6
live.
And 8
yeah.
is where they live. So while, yes, they are closer to first place than they are to 500, we're not going to have those conversations until they get there. Because unless we actually believe the AOS winner is going to finish below 500, the Astros are not a serious threat to win the division until they actually get to a point where they can say, hey, we're an above average baseball team.
Yeah, unless they can win
this. Or at least average baseball team.
Unless they can win this division with like 76 wins. I don't know.
Yeah, I
mean, I'm not sure they're going to get there.
I mean, it's fine to bring up the standings, but they very well could just keep losing games
and
continue to be 5 to 6 games out no matter how mediocre the Mariners, the A's, and the Rangers continue to be. So we need to have a bit of a run, but their pitching doesn't allow for it. And Tang was the latest culprit as he got smacked around. So all that positivity from the guys like Tang and certainly Arrigetti, it's kind of waning a little bit. But, hey, Peter Lambert's still pitching fine, and we get Hunter Brown tonight, so we'll see how that goes with Fromber on the mound for the Tigers. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We will probably stop talking about German tourists at some point. unless he gives us something to discuss. But I do want to remind you why Freddie is here is for the World Cup. And we got a watch party for soccer, the soccer watch party, today at Ducky McSweeney's. Will Kunkel will be there from 12 to 3, so he'll follow this show, and then Jeremy and Joe from 3 to 6. Then tomorrow we will be at Watson's House of Ales from 12 to 6, and you will have the chance to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find the promo team on tomorrow to register, and the winner will be announced at 5:30, and you do not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So certainly we'll get your information if you have to head on out. And then you may very well get that $500 gift certificate from Republic Boot Company. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get to a less than complimentary list that CJ Stroud is on. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
We continue here at the Golden Nugget inside the DraftKings Sportsbook. And so, when I got back to my room after the show, you know, you take a nap, you eat, but you get up and try to figure out what you might talk about in the next show. And I was just scanning the typical websites, well, sports websites to be clear, and landed on CBS Sports, and they have a list of potential bust for next season. And I guess the question would be, how do you determine a bust, particularly for a fourth-year player who has made the playoffs every year. He's won the division a couple times. He's helped the team win the division a couple times. And other than what was a two-game stretch in the playoffs, which you can't question was awful. It was awful. That's all you need to say about it. He has been a fine number two overall pick. But CJ makes the list of potential bust for this season. And sure, if things don't go well, most of the conversations will be about should the Texans pay him or not, but I don't think he falls into the category. But here are some of the reasons they give for why he will. If his passer rating, which is in the mid-85s, you know, he started as a rookie over 100, but if your passer rating is in the 85 range, you're pretty average. It is not something you want to trump it. It is the realm of the 22nd ranked quarterback in football, 17 to 20. It's that type where you're not a guy. We know you're not one of the guys who are going to be the best in the league, and he's done that a couple years in a row. With the Texans, see this site says they have the seventh toughest strength of schedule based on projected win total. So that fluctuates because we talked about this offseason, Sean, where in some ways, the Texans have a soft schedule when you look at what teams did last year, or in other ways, depending on how you feel about the projections for a team, then they have a tough schedule. So I guess that'll all play out once the games begin. But if they are actually in line to have one of their tougher schedules in the NFL, of course, they'll be defense first, and they'll try to run the football, so maybe his passer rating won't matter as much. But they simply think a repeat of years 1 and 2 makes him a bust. Let's have that discussion beyond the list, because the list is subjective. You're creating content, whatever. But as far as if CJ is a repeat, his fourth season is a repeat of years 2 and 3. While you may say that's not worth $60 million or $58 million, whatever it turns out to be, if he gets a long term contract from the Texans, does that make him a bust, or is he just now we just know who he is, and yeah, now we have to ask ourselves whether we want to build a team around him?
I think that's what it is. Is that it's just like even if he recreates his first season, like, that's, no one's turning their nose up at that, you know, at 4,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 100 passer rating, like you said. Like, that and then do that in the playoffs, or do, you know, a version of that in the playoffs. Like, I feel like that would actually be like a CJ is back kind of situation. Yeah. Maybe not the full enthusiasm that he had as, or that we had for him as a rookie, just because when you do that your first year, you think that there's a, you know, the line graph is going up on there, but, and this might just be more of like a, yeah, solid season, bounce back that he needed. But yeah, I don't think that if he just recreates the first, yeah, any of the first two seasons and doesn't throw 4 interceptions in a playoff game or fumble 5 times in a playoff game, like, I think the bounce back narrative is there, because how the last two games went, the vibes have never been lower, you know? He just plays normal. I think we're good.
Yeah, so of course, the season that you mentioned is the one that has continued to fuel optimism for the past two seasons that have fallen below expectations. And certainly some of that can be pointed to the construction of the roster around them. That's why the Texans have gone about going to get him a big-time running back in Joe Mixon, and then not having Joe Mixon last year led them to go trading for another accomplished back in Dave Montgomery. We know what they've done to try to improve the offensive line, and that is under the section why he will not bust. What they've done roster construction-wise to make their quarterback's job easier. I'll put it this way. If he goes 3 years in a row doing the whole I'm going to have a passer rating in the mid-80s, while that doesn't fall in the bust category for me, it just makes the decision-making for the Texans that much harder, because that's not a disaster season. And because of who you have on defense, you're still going to win plenty of games. Are they an organization who would make the decision to do the Stafford golf thing, where they go, okay, this quarterback is fine. We need to offer him more help to become a guy who can potentially lead us to a Super Bowl, and we're fine with that? Or do they go, hey, we need to make a move? Maybe it's not an accomplished quarterback, because those just don't become available. The Stafford situation in Detroit was very unique. We've done the whole look around the league and who might be available. The one guy we've pointed to because he played for who he plays for was like, what if Joe Burrow decided he didn't want to play in Cincinnati anymore? But I don't even feel like that's a serious conversation until Joe Burrow actually says something like that. So the alternative would be forge a path to go draft the quarterback, but likely you wouldn't be in a spot to Sorsby. Do that because of how you're good. We'll get to that. not necessarily for the Texans, but we will mention Sorsby. Or you find one of these veterans, go the Sam Darnold route, and the Sam Darnold route would be Baker Mayfield, because the Baker Mayfield situation in Tampa doesn't seem like it's getting any closer to a solution. Baker has said that, I'm not discussing this. If the season rolls around and I'm not set up with a long-term deal. So if you are a person who's done with CJ, I would say pay attention to what's happening in Tampa, because while Baker Mayfield isn't someone you think of as a top 8 quarterback, maybe 5 to 8 quarterback, he will be one of those guys who you think if you put him around a roster that is stacked, he's good enough to get you to where you want to be. He certainly has had good years in the past. I guess the problem would be, is Nick Caley a Liam Cohen or Dave Canales type? Because Todd Bowles hit on those guys. He didn't hit on the last guy, so I think he's now on Zach Robinson, who is now the OC in Tampa. The two head coaches came from that spot. The last one didn't do so well, so they're trying it again. So Baker's been able to adapt, and now maybe we're having diminishing returns on Baker. So we will see what Tampa and Baker decide to do. But I don't think CJ will be a bust. I fall kind of in the middle that he'll be fine, but I don't think he's going to do anything to calm any fears down if people do wonder if he can be the guy.
Yeah.
Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like what's more likely is that we're kind of like in the same place, just like the last taste in our mouth isn't as bad as it is this off season. Where it's like, I don't know, like looking at a seasons, I mean, it's honestly pretty consistent. Where it's like around 20 touchdowns, the outlier's 5 interceptions as a rookie, but you know, 10 interceptions average the last 2 years. Throws for, you know, in the 3,000 yard range, in, you know, 3,000 yards in 14 games this season, 37 in 17 games in 24. So it's like, it's funny because it kind of feels like CJ Stroud has shown who he is, you know, that he's actually not that volatile of a quarterback. It's just he was super volatile in last year's playoffs.
I would agree. It is a poor taste in everyone's mouths. It's the last thing we saw of him in a competitive atmosphere. He simply crumbled, and it cost your team a chance at something pretty big. Gary, you want to talk CJ Stroud? Hold through the break. I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else who wants to join the conversation? It is open for whatever you want to talk about. We'll get into some Soresby stuff, as Sean mentioned. Certainly some World Cup conversation as well, as some of the stars in the tournament and just in world football are going to start their World Cup with Messi going a little bit later against Algeria. Well, actually late at night against Algeria. And then you have Mbappe in France, one of the favorites. So we got a lot to get to here. We will be back. We're closing out our time here at the Golden Nugget. And we're going to be back in Houston starting tomorrow. But that's not the only way you can, beyond the fact that we're back in town, the rest of the station has been in town, and they're going to be out and about. So it's not whether it be listening to us or something else. It's not the only way to connect with us. You can listen to the shows. You can be out and about because on Friday, the entire station will be out at East River 9 for another soccer watch party. You can watch Team USA with the entire station at Birdie's Ice House starting at 10 a.m. You can register to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find our promo team so you can enter for your chance to win. The winner will be announced at 5:30, and the winner will not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So we got Ducky McSweeney's today, which you can go out and meet the fellas, Will Kunkel, and then Jeremy and Joe from 3 to 6, and then also the soccer watch party at East River 9 on Friday. Team USA, 2 p.m. is their game against Australia in Seattle. Let's get to Gary. We're talking about CJ Stroud in the previous segment. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys, it's been a couple of months, but I still hear the same narrative, but not from you guys. You're just sharing. I put C.J. Stroud and most quarterbacks in like a softball or baseball, the numbers game. I mean, if you got a good OPS, on-base percentage plus slugging, some coaches like that. But the primary number is when you got runners on base, do you get them home? Or when I lead off, do I just hit home runs? Solo home runs. Solo home run won't hurt you. But do I produce a second and third, one out, two outs, or whatever, and I hit a single and score two? I think I'll take C.J. Stroud number. I think we put numbers. The number I'm talking about is getting us to the AFC championship or whatever game over Justin Herbert. I'll take C.J. Stroud number. It doesn't look pretty. Not the numbers and the passing yardage or whatever. And I know you guys are not linking it to Bus, but I'll take that over Dak Prescott. I'm not saying he's a better or whatever, just like with Jalen Hurts. The numbers are the numbers. But the one primary deal is they have gotten, especially with C.J. Stroud, too. I mean, he hadn't had healthy receivers the entire 16, 17 games or whatever. These guys, but nobody is linking Herbert or anybody else as even, they don't even put the word bus in there. And yet, or when it comes to the money, pay the man, get to the second round, get healthy receivers, and get lucky. It takes a lucky bounce on your way to a championship. The catch like Eli Manning, the Immaculate Conception. It takes luck, skill, health, and all that. If you can get me to the second round, you may be one play away from the Super Bowl or so or something like that. And that's what's missing. But that's all I'm saying. It's just what you guys like, the narrative. He's been somewhere. that a lot of the other quarterbacks haven't been. And if I can just keep him there, I don't give a damn if it's 20 interceptions. Baker Mayfield, I don't even know if Baker been to the Super Bowl. Maybe he has. But he took a step back without his wide receiver from Galveston last year. So I'm not retreading that. I'm going with what we got.
Thank you, Gary. He said the Immaculate Conception. I immediately thought of the Virgin Mary. But
it was a championship of a certain
It was certainly miraculous. Of course, yes. I believe he was talking miraculous reception, thanks to Franco Harris and the Steelers.
He's not wrong.
I will say, what'd you say?
He's not wrong about catching breaks. I mean Drake May caught a break in the AFC title game.
Yeah, the snow. And the injury in the previous game to Bo Nix. So yeah, you need to be a little fortunate. But he was mentioning the numbers, and he said he didn't really care that much. But I do think there are some things where the quarterback we're talking about, C.J. Stroud, can improve, because if we just go by what the Texans' offense was last year, and he mentioned some quarterbacks that I'm not a giant fan of. I'm not a Herbert guy. He is the biggest as far as how people talk about him, the biggest what-if quarterback. Everyone's talking about, what if Herbert had that? What if Herbert had this? What if he was as fortunate as his other quarterback? It does help them to ignore some of the issues he has by himself. He does get a lot of excuses made for him. But as far as C.J. Stroud is concerned, last year, yes, the Texans won a lot of games, particularly after the bad start. And when you actually look at what their offense, at least the total points scored, their offense doesn't look as bad. There's certainly some defensive numbers in there where their defense is either scoring points or setting them up for points. But overall, I think the Texans finished like top 13 in points per game. So that was a surprise for some because of all the field goals they kicked. And that's the problem. The Texans, just by one metric, finished 27th. That's in touchdowns per game. They finish with less than two touchdowns per game. That is a team stat. That is not just a quarterback stat. But when you're 27th in the league in scoring touchdowns per game, receivers, sure, their absence is there. Your offensive line isn't good. But that is something where it doesn't completely fall on the quarterback. He has a part to play. With your offense bogging down in the opponent's side of the field and not being able to convert. So, Gary, I would agree. On the Herbert thing, I would not agree on the Dak thing. I'd take Dak Prescott on this team right now. In fact, if Dak Prescott was on this team, I think they're not only winning the division. You put Dak Prescott with Nico Collins and a great defense, I think that, at least in my eyes, the Texans would be a Super Bowl favorite, because that's a, when he's healthy, at least a top eight quarterback, and maybe some people would rank him higher. I get it. The Cowboys don't win a lot. In some ways, it's fun to make fun of them, but I don't question the quarterback's ability when it comes to ranking. The best quarterbacks in the game. But thanks for the call, yeah. Gary, on that.
The Herbert thing, it is interesting now that I look at their number, even like they're just stats on a page next to each other. You would think that Herbert like blows CJ out of the water. It's pretty close. Like even the regular season. Not even in the postseason, where Herbert has stunk it up the last 2 years. It's like, it's not different worlds. And so that's why I think like so much of it is just, I mean, and Herbert dealt with it not last year, but the year before when he lost to the Texans at Reliant, where it's that game, throwing four interceptions when everyone's watching on, you know, whatever, whether it's a Monday night game, or I guess the Steelers game was the Monday night game, but the, you know, standalone aspect of losing in the playoffs, and then when you throw four interceptions, like, it just is such a microscope on you. But, like, Herbert, I mean, traditionally, he's the guy who takes care of the ball, but he had 13 interceptions last year, 26 touchdowns. Like, that, if you told me C.J. Stroud puts in that production this coming year, like, I feel like we're still like, I don't know, but Herbert did it, and he's one of the like more successful stories of like, yeah, no doubt about it. You give this guy $50 million a year. It's very interesting, the like, I guess the name brand perception, because he came out the first 2 years through 30 touchdowns those first 2 years, and that, you know, CJ hasn't done that once his career.
Yeah, and Herbert, he will be given the benefit of the doubt. They'll talk about the tackles who got hurt. Both his left and right tackle are gone. We saw how New England got after him in the playoff game. And for whatever reason, you can guess if you'd like why he's given such a pass. He's just beloved by particularly the NFL media, like
film watchers,
the guys who make their money doing podcasts about the NFL. They love themselves some Justin Herbert. The people who say they're ball knowers because they watch film as opposed to the games, they love him. There's a bit of a disconnect there because they will treat like a second and seven in the second quarter the same way you treat a third and eight in the fourth. Hey, the defense is the defense. The read is there. If he makes the throw or if he misses the throw, there's no difference between if he made the throw or missed the throw in the second quarter versus missing the throw in the fourth, despite how sports actually works. And the more important the moment, the more pressure there is. And that's how we judge players, how they perform when it matters most. Film watchers in some ways don't even take that into account. It's like, hey, the play is the place. And how does he look making the play, no matter what the situation actually is? So I think Herbert's reputation, at least for hot take artists, is a little bit different than what it is for people who say they're ball knowers.
But, yeah, just a quick, like, his Justin Herbert's passer rating for his career is 96.3. C.J. Stroud's is 93.5. Like, it's not that different. Now, again, it's
you're preaching to someone who agrees with all of that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It is crazy. It's, like, not that different. It really is just, like, a little bit perception. And I think year two also being, you know, in the off season being set up as, like, you got Diggs coming in. You like, it's just, you know. We all know the whole deal. It's like, I feel like year two was the year that, like, they're really going to take a next step, especially with that offense, and came out flat. The guy, you know, Diggs got hurt, Tank's got hurt the 2 years he's been healthy in the league. So it is something where it's like not 100%, and I guess Herbert can say the same thing with the injuries that the Chargers have had. But, yeah, it is really interesting. I do kind of think, like, C.J. Stroud puts in a normal C.J. Stroud season, don't throw four interceptions in a playoff game, and I think he gets his money next offseason. I do think there is a show me aspect, though.
Yeah, and I think the Texans are a team who wants to pay him. This is not a team who is looking for a reason not to. They just need confirmation in what they already believe in him. And if he backs it up with another solid year, I think he'll get his money, and then it'll be up to us and others to talk about whether it was the right decision or not. And certainly a lot will have to do, at least our opinions will be based on what happens in the playoffs. And if he can be the quarterback who pushes this team beyond simply the divisional round. All right, thanks for the call, Gary. We'll go to break. We'll talk some World Cup. We'll get into the Brendan Sorsby thing, because what a colossal waste of time. Not just the fact that there was there were court cases, that people had to hire lawyers, but for us, we had to sit through it, and we don't even really get any payoff, and I'll talk about what that means when we come back.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.